Answer with the Boys. From high octane to adrenaline. Starting lineups to starting grids. Gridiron to Grand Prix. Get laced up.
Let's go.
It's time for Banter with the Boys.
Yo, welcome back to Banter with the Boys Fast Laps. Obviously, right off the bat, next to me, our co-host, Joe. Joe, what's poppin'?
Hey, how's it going? Looking forward to a Grand Prix that's in the USA. Get to watch at 3 p.m. instead of 2 a.m.
Yeah, as Tyler said, the homeland last
weekend.
Homeland.
Yeah, still don't understand what that's about, really. But and then next to him, obviously, we got Cole. Cole, how's your week been?
It's been going good, man. Good week. Weather turning around right now, but it's been beautiful. It was beautiful earlier today.
It was beautiful earlier
today. Bright and sunny. Coming back, Sergeant's hometown. We'll see.
Being upgraded to lieutenant, I saw. I don't know. I got a kick out of that. That was somewhere on Facebook. But Tyler, what's going on?
Not much, man. Just enjoying this beautiful weather that Cole said, and it's taking a turn. So hopefully not for the worse.
Yeah, of course, as we say that, we got a storm barreling down on us in the next 30 minutes to an hour. So if we just cut out, better luck next time. But let's just move right into the Chinese recap. Just first off, before we even dive really deep into this, we got to talk about these sprints. I know we've touched on it before in the past. How do you guys honestly feel about the sprint? Like anybody.
I'm not a huge fan, personally. I would much rather, it would mean more, I guess, if there was like more points on the line per se, or if there was like a disparity kind of like there is in a race with the differential and the points that you get. But it's just, I don't know. I mean, I get the draw, right? It's another race for the fans. None of the drivers like it. So I just think it could be gone away with and nobody would bat an eye.
I think the only good thing that happened as of recent was the fact that how you place in the sprint doesn't affect the actual race. I thought that was ridiculous and it honestly didn't make for a race. Everybody was just playing safe. So I think that's a big improvement.
Because if you wreck your car in the sprint, that's not good, right? That affects, you know, going forward, obviously. But you said the drivers don't like the sprints. Do you think the teams like the sprints or do they make them nervous? Like, could you see it from a team point? Like, we're getting more data with them racing, but to your point, Cole, they're not racing super hard against each other. So it's like...
Oh, and that was the switch I was talking about. So it used to be they're racing harder now than they used to. Because
I thought you meant it was the other way.
No, so it used to be however you finished in the sprint was how you lined up in the actual race.
Right.
And now,
right,
obviously, they do the two separate qualifiers. So it I think they race harder. But I think if you're a team, you're happy with it. I mean, because if you're like a lower team, if you're like Haas, this is something you kind of look like. Obviously, the big teams, they don't care. But if you're Haas and you could pull out 1 or 2 points in a sprint, that's huge for the whole season.
It's huge, but then I would say, like, make it the top 10 again then and have more points for up for grabs. Because what's the likelihood of a Haas, Williams, Alpine right now, like, actually getting eighth in a race?
So, but, I mean, at least you're getting more options for mess-ups and stuff. And if they're racing harder over a shorter course, maybe you're going to have more crashes and stuff now with this change. That's the hope, I would say. That's devil's advocate for the lower-end teams. I think that the top-end teams are kind of just, like, whatever.
I mean, at the end of the day, from the team's perspective, I think they're all for it because what do the sprints do? Make money and draw viewership, right? So the teams are all for making money 100%. And drawing viewership.
Well, 100%. I think just on like the nerdy side of it for all the, you know, whatever the hell Nui does and guys of like that on the team, but like all the engineers and stuff like that, like I would just think it would be an advantage to have some of the sprints as well.
I don't know about that though, because you're losing FP1 and 2. In that weekend, right? So that's where the teams truly collect their data, because you get the long sprints or you get the tire data that you want. You can make adjustments. So I think it's actually hurting them to a certain degree.
But how hard do you
that.
Truly race somebody in a practice?
It's not about racing, though. Like, you don't have to predict the racing. You have to predict the car's durability and what's going to get you the best out of the car.
Sure, but are they going to act different if you're actively racing against somebody side by side? You know what I mean? Like, are you going to get a ton of data? Probably not. Joe's been trying to say something. I just keep steamrolling them.
No, you're good. You're good. I think the fact that they only get one practice is a great point. They used to get two practices with this new setup, they get one and then they go right into qualifying. I don't think they get that much great data from a race because they're focused solely on the race. And talking about, we had a sprint in China. Four drivers never raced there before. They get 60 minutes to learn the track and then get right onto the course. They're already at a disadvantage from everyone else who's been there.
In a sprint, but then on the flip side of that, now the sprint is an advantage to them going into the Grand Prix now because they got a little bit of experience, however short it was.
But they would get more experience in an FP, in a practice session.
But not at race pace with the cars on the track.
100% race pace, because the race pace is, you simulate all of that in your practice sessions, right? Yeah, you can't simulate driving in dirty air, but like you build your strategy off of those practice sessions.
But like simulations and then running yourself through that in a practice session can only get you so far, in my opinion, whatever, obviously. But compared to like racing next to somebody, like you can know, hey, he's going to probably do this, but still it's not the same as like him actually being there and making a decision because you keep learning. You know, I don't know. I'm curious for people to comment, hopefully, on this video.
Yeah, I would love to. I think my take is that I probably don't love sprints. I think they give us more racing, which is always cool, but I share the same sentiment with the drivers. They're going to be tired the entire weekend. They're going through a lot of stress.
For sure.
I would say, yeah. Cool. What's up?
Yeah. I was going to say, I mean, obviously like a lot of the drivers don't love it, but I mean, we'll talk about some placement here soon, but there's a Mercedes driver out there that's very happy who more than doubled his points on the weekend just from the sprint. So I think for a lot of these guys, it's almost needed to get those points.
I would still say that Lewis would come out and say that he'd go away with sprints.
Because it's Lewis, though. But if because kind of who he is and everything like that, but a lot of other racers, you know, are taking big advantage of these extra
points. But if Fernando
points.
Gets that two spot, you know.
Exactly.
Fernando is more than capable of getting the two in the race, though.
For sure, no, 100%.
Not 100%.
It's not the best comparison, but the car was the reason why I said it for sure, you know. But let's talk about that. Verstappen, Hamilton, Perez, obviously not surprised to see the Red Bulls. We're still talking about the sprint. But, Lewis finishing second to sprint was kind of nice to see, actually. It was a little bit refreshing. I know sprints don't necessarily mean a ton, but it was just refreshing. He even led for a little bit, which was fun.
He looked good. He looked very good the whole time.
He did look good. He actually did look comfortable in the car, so I was kind of hoping that we would see a little bit on Sunday, which he start at the back?
Well, yeah, so that's also the other change this year with the sprint format, which I think actually drastically hurt Mercedes this, is there's no more park family regulations. So you can tweak that car up until the race point at this point, where you used to be, as soon as you have that sprint qualifying, the car is done for with. You can't make any adjustments going forward. Right now that's changed. So the teams were able to make those adjustments that normally in turn you would make in the practice sessions because you have the extra time, but now you have the ability to tweak and turn throughout until you get essentially to that race.
Is that only on sprint weekends?
Well,
or races that have a sprint?
No.
Or is that rule just like, cause can you still make adjustments after qualifying on a race weekend?
It depends
general?
On the type of adjustment. To a certain degree, you can. You can adjust like braking. You can adjust more or less what you can control in the steering wheel. You can do up until then.
Right.
But as soon as you like qualifying's done, you're done.
Yeah, everything the driver can control can be adjusted,
which is
obviously.
Correct.
Which a lot can be done from that steering wheel, actually. But I've never touched one.
Yeah, but so that gives the teams to make those adjustments throughout. And, so I would say it hurt Mercedes because the other teams were able to see what they did and make those adjustments, and Mercedes wasn't able to follow suit.
In fact, Mercedes broke Hamilton's car for the next race. I mean, immediately after a sprint, he went to qualifying and got 18th. So they made adjustments, tried something new, and that didn't work. Maybe if there was an extra practice, they could have figured that out sooner and
sure,
could have done better in the race.
So there's your argument again.
That's the point that I was trying to complete my thought on last time, and I completely zoned. Hamilton, yeah, great that he got second. We could talk about, you know, Norris lost five positions, and then he was able to hold off Alonso. That was pretty cool. I love seeing that, but yeah, that race was the opposite of what he did in the sprint. I don't know.
For sure. Well, and if does anybody else have anything to add on the sprint?
I would say you brought him up, but Alonso in the sprint was pretty fantastic. Am I thinking of the right one?
Yeah, he finished dead last, brother.
Alonso?
He DNF'd in the sprint. He lasted 17 laps.
Yeah, but it didn't. Am I thinking of the race when the first 10, 12 laps of the sprint, he was fighting off Sainz?
Oh, yeah. He was having huge fights.
Amazing. Yeah. The first, like, other up until I think like five laps before the end when that happened. Other than that, like all the way up until then, he was fighting off everybody.
Yeah.
And this is kind of what we talked about last time, is that Alonso was actually fighting against the Red Bulls, against the Ferraris.
He's not really fighting against the Red Bulls. He just lets the Red Bulls kind of go past him.
No, not in the sprint. In the sprint, he was fighting off. I mean, it literally took Sainz like pushing him off the track for him to make, and then for Perez to make the pass underneath them. Sainz pushed Alonso off the track, basically. And then Perez jumped underneath. So, yeah. I mean, like he fought like hell the whole time.
He's making the car look good.
Yeah.
Like he's just got so much skill. And we know that. That's why, again, it goes back to like, excuse me, it goes back to the whole thing. Like, it's crazy that he re-signed already and blah, blah, blah. And it's obviously there's something coming. But did you have something to add on the sprint before we moved on? No? Okay. Just wanted to make sure. So let's just get right into the GP then. I know how we mentioned Hamilton got second in the sprint. Somebody else got second in the GP this weekend. And just go ahead and say I predicted that. But actually, I predicted that he would be in the podium. Excuse me. That's what we do. But great drive from Lando. Driver of the day, did he get?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. Driver of the day. Rightfully so. What a great run for him, honestly.
I thought it should have been maybe Lewis.
He had to be a close second.
As far as the races coming up to this point, this was Lewis's best race.
100%.
P18.
100%. 100%. And obviously Max and Sergio capping off that top three.
I don't think you can give driver of the day to somebody finishing ninth. I don't care if you start dead last.
Behrman?
He started 11th.
And he finished seventh.
Oh, I mean, close to ninth, right?
He's also, I mean, are we comparing Lewis to Behrman right now?
No. Well, maybe in this
car,
season.
Maybe in that car, yeah. I don't know.
Come on, fellas.
Come on. We know the Ferrari's like miles ahead of the Mercedes right now. If you put Behrman in that Ferrari against Lewis in that Mercedes, I think Lewis is probably going to win. But well,
Behrman actually finished ahead of him at that race.
Yeah.
But like George lost two spots, didn't he?
In
the GP.
No, Russell. He started eighth and he
gained two.
He finished sixth, yeah. But I mean, I would normally, if it wasn't like, I guess Lewis or one of these top drivers, I would say if like, let's say Yuki did something like that all day. But when you have any of these top tier drivers, like he didn't finish ahead of anybody he shouldn't.
No, that's fair.
Right? If he jumped to like fifth and he had to beat a couple McLarens, a couple Ferraris to get that, maybe. But he didn't beat any car that's performing halfway decent right now. But that's not a shot toward, like, good race from Lewis. Like, for him to be able to do that, it showed he still has some fight.
For sure. No, 100%. Like, almost kind of related. I do want to quick talk about the Mercedes in general. I mean, we kind of saw it again this week, and I can't remember which one of you two over there were talking about this battle, kind of being a battle the rest of the season, kind of between George and Fernando, but that battle's kind of heating up a little bit. We saw a little bit of it this race, nothing too crazy, but obviously George getting the better of him this race, but I think that's something to seriously keep an eye on as we continue on. I mean, you'd want to see Fernando beat out the Mercedes, right? No?
I don't know. I was joking around with Tyler before, and if you wanted to, you can make an argument right now. Fernando's the best driver on the grid.
What?
With Verstappen on the grid?
It's the first almost verbatim what I said back
to
him.
If they're in the same car, Fernando wins more of the races.
Then Verstappen, if they're both in the Red Bull?
Put them both in the Aston.
Oh, both in the Aston?
Well, neither one of them are winning races in the Aston.
Well, I don't know if you put Sergeant in the Red Bull.
Well.
Lieutenant, yeah.
You'll be the fastest person going into a wall, that's for sure. In an Aston, I don't think they're winning the race, but I just feel like that Red Bull is like built around Max a little bit. I know we've had the conversation a little bit, and obviously Sergio is definitely a part of that conversation, but he's their guy. They're gonna make sure he wins WDC. If he's put into a car that maybe favors Alonso, I don't know. That's an interesting take.
I don't think Max can be stopped right now. I don't care what car.
In
the
Aston, no.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying Max would win, or neither one would win in an Aston.
Who's
but
winning out
who's,
of those two?
Yeah, who's like beating?
Who's finishing
out,
more?
Yeah,
you put them both in an Aston Martin right now.
I mean, with Fernando's knowledge of the car that he, if he carries that into it, yeah, I'd say maybe.
Okay, put them both in a McLaren.
I was about to say, put him in a different car.
Oh, I'm taking Verstappen all day.
Are you, okay, let's say out of 20 races.
Fernando 10 years ago.
Let's say out of 20 races, how many are you taking Verstappen?
11.
I would say 12 or 13.
Out of the 20?
I'm not saying it's a runaway.
I think it would be close. I think it would be really close. Fernando is extremely skilled. I mean, best driver on the grid, though. I don't know. I still got to give it to Max.
If Max wasn't winning by 10-plus seconds every race, you know, it's not like he's just, like, getting in front and like, well, I guess he is coasting. His coasting is a 10-second advantage.
At least.
But so if you put, I mean, we could pick a couple drivers. Let's say you put Hamilton or you put Leclerc or Sainz in that Red Bull. Are they doing the same thing out in front with that Red Bull?
That what Max is currently doing?
Yeah.
Not with Max in another car.
So you don't think if they're in that car with that big of a gap of just overall
speed?
No,
I don't think so. Because if Sergio wins and Max isn't even in the contention, like the couple he won last year, he wasn't winning by that big of margins.
No, I think you're misreading. Take Max out of the picture.
Okay, that's what I'm saying, though. So let's take Max out of the equation. When Sergio was winning, like when he won the couple of races he did last year, right?
Yeah.
He didn't have the gap that Verstappen has right now that Verstappen was winning by.
I'm not saying Sergio. I'm saying if you put somebody like Hamilton in that car, though.
My point is, like, that, I mean, Sergio, we all, like, joke around and say this, but, like, Sergio's a really good freaking driver.
He's not Hamilton, though.
He's not Hamilton, no. But it's, I still don't think that, are they winning like Max is right now? No.
Checo's not winning that much, for sure.
I'd say Checo's a top three or four driver.
Oh. I mean, Checo's going to win. I think he's going to get second place this year.
It's not even going to be contention.
I think, I like the idea of putting someone in Max's place and saying, can they make the gap to second place that Max can? I don't think they can. I don't think Max has that locked
up. There's not a single driver on the grid right now, you don't think?
That would, like, to Max's level, like, to the exact same level, no. I don't think so. Are they going to win handedly? Yes, of course, right? But when you have, and, I mean, you talk about, like, even the gap. That was a... It was a 13-second gap in this last race, and they had a red. They had a safety car where everybody lined up with 10 laps to go, almost.
No, it was 27 laps in.
There was another one.
I thought it was
lap 32 is when the safety car ended. So that was.
There was what 52 20, laps?
56.
Oh, 56. Yeah.
Okay, so almost half the race, he's building up a 13-second gap.
I mean, didn't we see him win by?
Like 32 seconds or something?
That's what I thought. Over 30 seconds this season already. Like, I mean, it's normal. It's became normal. But like to your point, I don't think so. I don't think you put anybody in that car. I don't think they can do what Max is doing.
Look at the
agreeing with Tyler. They'll win. But
look at the sprint for this one, right? He took control of the race lap 10 of 19 laps, and he had an 11-second lead in 9 laps. Yeah,
he just drives away from it.
And that was, but Fernando was in second at that time, too, if I'm not mistaken.
But that's to the point where the car is definitely tailored towards him. I mean, 100%. And that's what kind of leads me back to Fernando.
Does that tailor into that car, though, the just from a driver-level perspective between Max and Checo, is that a 10, like an over 10-second, just the tweaking of the car?
Skill.
Exactly.
That's legend status skill.
I feel like you can definitely make arguments for a good amount of drivers. I just don't know if they're going to be able to get to Max level. I don't know.
I hope this gets answered next year and Verstappen is in a Mercedes.
Yeah.
Well,
I heard they offered him 150.
Too low, you know.
Is 50 more a year worth leaving Red Bull? Because Red Bull's giving him 100.
What do you want to do? What's your goals in life the rest of your life? Do you want to win championships and become a legend and beat Schumacher? Or do you want to, or Lewis, whatever, whoever leads now, I can't remember.
Schumacher.
Or do you want to just make a ton of money and just bank on it? Because you're going to retire anyway, and allegedly in by, what, 35, he says he's going to retire Max or something?
So also, what is Red Bull going to do in a couple of years with the changes, what they're 26? Going to 26, right? And Huey, we were talking about this before we got on here, but Huey is already fielding a ton of offers.
Oh, yeah, we're going to talk about that. Tyler's got to talk about his boy, Newey. He's got his phone number. They text.
Yeah, I don't know. With Verstappen, does anybody truly think Verstappen's doing this for money?
Nah, I think he wants to be the best to ever do it.
I think 1 year of a Red Bull deal with $100 million you're being paid, that's before sponsorships, you're set for the rest of your life and your great-great-great-grandchildren are set.
I just don't see why he would leave Red Bull. That would be a super weird move to me. But that would, I mean, unless you want to prove that you can go to another team like a Brett Favre, Tom Brady status and be like, I can win the championship on another team. Now, if you want that challenge and to prove that, Mercedes isn't a bad option.
That's what I'm thinking. Do you think he's cocky
with the
enough?
New regulation?
Do you think he's cocky enough around his skill to do that?
Yeah, and but I don't think.
And he gets 50 mil more, right? If he goes there, Newey's probably going there.
I don't think Max and Newey are tied as close together as Max and Mark or Helmut are. I think they, because like Helmut, there's been rumors galore of Helmut not liking the direction that Red Bull's leadership is, and he's thinking about leaving. So I think that matters more to Max because I think Helmut and Jost are very, very close.
Schumacher is second, right, for the titles?
Lewis and him are tied at seven.
So did Schumacher win all those with Ferrari?
No, he won six of the seven with Ferrari.
That's another kicker. Everybody else that's got seven won with multiple different cars.
That's true.
And Max, is Max going to be the one that goes and does it with the same car?
That's
the
true.
Same thing every year?
If Verstappen gets to eight with Red Bull, everybody will always talk that Schumacher and Hamilton did it with another team.
McLaren.
But Max stayed home the whole time.
Hamilton built McLaren. And who did Schumacher win his other one with?
I wouldn't say Hamilton built McLaren. They had quite a lot of success going back to the history of F1. But he brought them back.
Even him winning with that car.
Schumacher was Jordan. Which became, I don't remember after the thing, but that's where Schumacher started, where his first championship was with Jordan. That was the team.
And then when he went to Ferrari, they're already dogs.
No. At that time, in the 90s F1, there wasn't one single person or team dominating throughout the 90s, like you have with the Hamilton and Verstappen era, and Vettel before that.
I thought that their car was running away for a couple of those. Maybe not all of them, but maybe a couple of them. But
I don't think Ferrari had, there was a huge gap in actual driver championships with Ferrari before Hamilton got there, or before Schumacher got there, if I'm not mistaken. Because Kimi Raikkonen Häkkinen, he wasn't with the one guy with the mustache. He was with Williams. Senna was with McLaren, but it was early 90s where he passed.
To tie it back in,
where are you going with that?
I think that's in the back of Verstappen's mind. Like, just like you're saying, if he wins eight with Red Bull, cool. You won in the most dominant car every year.
Well, and that's just it too. That will be,
and
that will be
an sad asterisk around his first one.
Well, I think
against Hamilton.
Give it more time, and that's not even going to be talked about.
I disagree.
I seriously don't think.
I think everyone's going to always think about that.
As much as there's an asterisk on that, you can also put an asterisk on Lewis's first championship with that person. I don't remember the driver, but they wrecked, which got Lewis into the fifth position because Massa won the race, and they were celebrating in the garage that they won the championship. And then somebody crashed on the last lap, and Lewis got one place more that he needed that secured the championship.
That's just stuff that's going to happen in racing. I mean, the stuff that happened with
yes and no. There was a couple of sus crashes in the past few years here. But
I mean, the stuff that happened with Verstappen.
But that's more
Hamilton.
Of a race incident rather than like what did happen. And yeah. I get it. I get the asterisk. I know why it's there. We're not even going to get into that because we've already talked about that before. But it's just, I don't know. It's still Max's. I think Max deserved the championship, but Lewis deserved to win that race. That's kind of how I feel about that final race. But let's get back into China GP real quick. We got a couple things just to touch on, and then we do actually have some news this week. Joe, I kind of want you to touch on real quick. We were just talking about Red Bull. They kind of did that two double stack pits. Like, how important is that? I think one of them was during the safety car, was it?
I think so.
Like,
yeah.
How important is that?
I mean, to execute it, it's incredibly important. And they got like their fastest pits of the season so far of any team, 2.0, 1 and 1.9, and then 2.1 and 2.0, double stacks. That's crazy.
NASCAR's like, sorry, I dropped my lug nuts. What did you say?
The 1.9 tied the world record McLaren set last year.
I think it's 1.8 for McLaren.
Oh, it was 1.8?
I think so, yeah.
But the fact that you did that two times
on a double stack?
On a double stack is in Sauber can't even get one pit stop under 2.8.
Oh, they can't
get it under 3.
Yeah, it was under 3.
Yeah.
It was 2.9.
That's progress. That's progress.
And everybody was like, the commenters were just jacking them up.
Let's go.
Hey, you're going somewhere. You're going in the right direction.
Bottas looked good for a bit there, though.
Until he had his failure.
A bit. Yeah, a bit. Yeah.
So let's talk about his failure real quick. So why the heck was there not a virtual safety car the moment he stepped foot out of that car?
There was a virtual.
Not right away.
Yeah, virtual
right
there was.
No, not right away.
No, there was a virtual
the commenter
right
said
away.
It. No, there wasn't. It was
there
a yellow flag
safety.
Right away.
There
it
wasn't
was
a full.
No, I watched the race in 30 like 10 minutes before I got here. It was the commenters were even saying why there wasn't a virtual because Bottas was on the side of his car and there was like 8 cars that were coming up on that corner.
Whoa. I think you're confusing it with a virtual versus a full safety.
No, I'm not, because they called the safety car after the virtual was out because the guys got out to the car and they couldn't get it moving.
Right.
So that's when they
get
called
it going.
The red flag.
They still had a yellow flag though at the start. Like when he was on the side, they had a yellow flag, but they didn't even get the virtual out. Yeah, for I think a little while.
Yeah, it was because the commenters were saying like how like idiotic it was that there wasn't a virtual. They made a comment, sure, like if anybody goes long in that corner, there's a Formula One driver right there.
I watched the race today. I'm going to have to disagree. I think it was a virtual right off the bat, and they said that why are they not pulling a full safety car?
I was literally just rewatching the entire race right before this. Why can't I remember?
Because they're in a virtual, and they're ripping around him still, but it wasn't a full safety car yet.
I'll bet money on this one because I specifically remembered it to comment on it today. I'll find out real quick. I got it open.
Well, let's just take a little quick sec here, do a little research slash, and we'll get back at it. And we're back at it, of course, after we just looked that up. Ended up being yellow flags and then turned into a virtual safety car, but
that's on me.
Hey.
I'll take that one.
That's all right. We don't own that. All right. Good. All right. Let's just go right into it. We got a couple more things to mention about the Chinese Grand Prix here. Of course, I think it was during that same safety car of K-Mag going a little bit wide and giving Yuki the business there, taking Yuki out of the race. I kind of blame K-Mag. It took him out of the race. He couldn't make it back. But I kind of blame K-Mag on that. Didn't really hold his line at all and just went up the track and took Yuki out. But I think it was during that safety car that Stroll just smashes into Ricardo because allegedly Ricardo stomped on his brakes, but
it was the first safety car that happened. It was the Bottas one.
Yeah, both K-Mag going into Yuki and Stroll going into Danny, that happened like pretty close at the same time.
Okay, yeah. I'm confusing them, but anyway.
So what were you guys' thoughts on the whole Stroll running into the back of Danny Rick? Because obviously looking at it, it was just kind of, Alonso locked up up front, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Alonso locked up, and then everybody else kind of just had to slow down, and it's kind of tough because as much as we're not Stroll lovers in this room, it's not really on him. It's tough. I mean, Ricardo almost hit into the back of Piastri.
Stroll's a clown.
100% on Stroll, dog. Nobody else made contact.
But you see how
close
Ricardo
there's
was?
Minor contact throughout a number, like 5 cars, but...
But the only reason that Ricardo hit Piastri was because Stroll smashed into the back of him. He clipped him.
There was
after
a little bit of contact
hit.
After, though, like right after Stroll did that. I thought there was a little bit of contact, or it was right before then. So maybe it's that I'm thinking of, but like there was a little bit of like stacking up going on. And
stacking
and,
up for
but,
sure.
But I mean, Stroll did smash him, but there was other things going on.
Stroll wasn't
sure.
paying attention. We saw on board, he's looking at the corner when he should be looking right in front of him. You can't overtake under safety car. I don't know why he's not looking in front of him. You know?
I guess I missed that part where I didn't see the whole after look with Stroll. That's why I just heard, honestly, at that part, I was just listening and I heard the announcers say that, it's blocked up here. He locked up front. And then I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, it was. Wow, words are hard. It was funny though, because in the brief room, whatever it was, Verstappen was like, "Oh, that was my fault," because he had a real slow accel, and then kind of like he didn't fake go, but he kind of like jumped, and then he went. So everybody behind him was expecting him to take off, and he slowed up everybody.
I didn't see
really?
That.
Yeah, and then Alonso locking up, he actually evaded. He didn't hit anybody because he evaded. So I don't know if we can really blame Alonso for that as much as like, but for sure to come out and say that, like, Danny's an idiot. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, that's the dumb part for me. Like, if he would have just accepted, like, it happened, everybody got stacked up, you know. But yeah, to come out and say that, and now Danny Rick has got feelings about it too, rightfully so. But
that's something where a lot of other drivers are saying, tough, nothing I could do there. You know, something like that. Like,
yeah, 100%.
You know, and like, that's just kind of
like Danny Rick, like, what, the week before when him and at the Japanese Grand Prix,
Albon.
Him and Albon, they both were like, yep, it just happened, you know, pretty much.
That's just like the Stroll thing, I feel like, to just be like, what an idiot, you know, blame it.
Well, if you feel like you got to consistently defend yourself, well, maybe it's time to look in the mirror, buddy.
I mean, you had Stroll saying they all break too early, and then you have Danny saying, because there was nowhere to go, and then Oscar saying, We all had to break that early, and none of us crashed into each other except for you. So,
I mean, it's a prime example of, like, how an idiotic Stroll is for making that comment. When K-Mag, 100%, when he hit Yuki, 100% on K-Mag, Yuki's radio message, bleep, 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 I'm out. It wasn't, and it's Yuki. He's one of the more, like, aggressive guys on the mic, know? He even was like, oh, shoot. You know, it just sucks for Danny Rick, though, because he was in a prime position to secure a 10th or 9th place here.
It's a good race.
Well, and it came out this week that Horner's like, it would take a lot for Danny Rick to be in a Red Bull car, pretty much. Like, he came out and said something along those lines, like, he has to have an outstanding season for us to consider him at this point, or something like that. We'd have to look it up, but something along those lines. Like, I definitely saw a blip of Horner coming out and saying something about Ricciardo needing to pretty much do better.
And also, I just saw today, I don't know if you guys saw this, that Audi said that Yuki's on the short list if Sainz is not in Audi.
Really? I did not hear that. That's interesting.
So on that note, who's the other driver? So he's on the short list if Sainz doesn't join. So it's Sainz or Yuki for the one seat. There's two seats
out.
There's
another driver.
I have a thought in mind.
For Audi?
Hold on. Save it for news. Yeah. Let's touch on it in news. We got one more thing to touch on for the Chinese Grand Prix, and we'll hit that. I just want Joe quick to touch on Alonso's late tire swap and what it ended up garnering him.
Oh, yeah. Alonso, if you have something to say. Oh, yeah. Alonso going for a late tire strategy opposed to pretty much everyone else. Ends up getting past four people near the end of the race, lap 45 to 50, getting past four people. Pretty great drive. I remember the commentators stating like how bad a move it was, how bad a strategy it was, and how hard he's going to fight. Made it look like light work. He got the job done.
I thought watching it, I was like, that sucks. He's not going to get points now. Yeah. But the reason that I was putting my hand up is I just remembered when he went off and saved and came back when his back tires were in the dirt and he was sideways and saved, the same thing that Science crashed on. It was insane. And like you watched it real when they went back in the cockpit, how fast his hands jerked to counteract that. Unreal.
If only his teammate had the same reaction time.
Only he was in a Red Bull, he'd be winning races.
No, that was absolutely insane, though. The fact that he's able, because the thing is people, like, you see it on TV, you don't realize these guys are going into that corner like 100 miles per hour plus taking that.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
You're getting sideways in that car, which is not designed for tight maneuvering.
No.
To save that is just incredible.
And not even that. A lot of drivers are shaken up. He passed Hamilton two corners later.
He that happened and then was immediately just went on attack. It's like it didn't happen.
It didn't even happen.
Yeah,
right.
It was two corners later.
It didn't even phase him.
He's a robot. And it was honestly stuff like that when he came back and climbed up the kind of how he raced this weekend. That's where I'm pulling that energy of put them both in that car. Who's taking the top?
I would love to see it, 100%. I would love for that to happen because I really wish Alonso would get a shot in a top-tier car. I hate that he re-signed to Aston unless Nui goes there, but...
I don't see that happening at this point.
We'll talk about that in news. Yeah. I got something for that.
Well, hey, we'll talk about that in news. With that, we'll go to news. And going right into news, Cole had seemed like he had something juicy about Nui right off the bat. Is that who you're talking about? Like,
yeah, so another hot take I saw around everything today, maybe this was yesterday, that right now Nui's top landing spot is Aston Martin and Ferrari and Mercedes are secondary.
So him staying at Red Bull is no longer an option?
So I also found out today, my stuff's been blowing up today, apparently. Today I found out that
before, from your insiders,
they're saying that before the Miami Grand Prix this weekend, it'll be announced that Nui is no longer with Red Bull.
Yep.
Whoa, yeah. What?
All I saw about Nui today was like his departure from Red Bull is Red Bull is imminent.
And immediate then? Like that's it? Done? Like doesn't finish the season?
I think he'll probably finish the season. Oh, okay. It'll just be announced that he's no longer going to be like continuing with Red Bull. I mean, it's probably written in his contract or some way that Red Bull can keep him for the rest of the year. Because if he goes and signs with a Mercedes, a McLaren, or Aston, he's getting all that knowledge now to that car.
What if he just pulls the rug out and retires? Do you think that's not even an option?
No, there's too many talks about him with other teams right now.
Yeah,
sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Joe. I would love to see him retire just because we're losing just a great engineer, like just gone to the wind, gone bird watching for the rest of his life or whatever. I think that'd be funny. It's interesting that you say that Aston is first in line because my sources aren't super reliable, but I thought that he's already written them off as not wanting to go.
The last thing I saw is that like Aston wasn't in contention.
But that was 3 weeks
or 2 ago. Yeah.
Or something. So that's like 50 years in F1.
They probably have the most money to offer him.
That's the thing too. And I mean, Alonso, you don't think he want to work with him? The one thing though that Tyler said that kind of stuck out to me today is him repairing with Hamilton, right?
Yeah, so if you look at his chance to work with Alonso, did that with McLaren when he was there with Lewis. Mm-hmm. So he has had that opportunity before, but I think if him retiring, I don't think is in the equation, because I think if he's going to leave Red Bull, he's going to do it for one reason, and that's legacy. Can he produce and win at another team like he is right now at Red Bull? Now, you look at what he did with McLaren. He left McLaren in 2005. If I'm not mistaken, Lewis's first championship. What year was it?
07, something like that. It's right there. Right in those couple of years.
And you were saying he was with him for that, right?
It depends on when Lewis won his first one. But he also, so the name I was trying to find earlier when I said Raikkonen, it's Mika Häkkinen. So he won in 98 and 99 and knew he was a part of that McLaren team.
Yeah. McLaren won 2008, World Driver Champion.
Okay, so knew he was gone from McLaren when Lewis won, but he still, like, he left in 2005, so he still worked with Lewis when Lewis went to McLaren. Yeah.
So right now what you're saying about McLaren and Newey, are you trying to hint that you think he might go to McLaren?
No. I'm just saying, so when you said
he's
that...
He's going like, back on what you said about Alonso.
He's worked with Alonso before, so it wouldn't be like a new chance. It would be a new chance at it, but it's like not the first time he would work with an Alonso.
So that's where I was trying to build... I guess that kind of builds my point a little bit, because what I was tailoring to your point was the fact that because he worked with Hamilton, that was kind of your point around him working back with Hamilton, right?
I think it was... You got to also remember, how long is Alonso on each team? Right, he signs a 1 or 2 year deal and then he goes to a new team. He didn't get a full change. He didn't work with Hamilton as much as Newey and Hamilton worked together. So that's more of my point, that they've always kept a relationship.
Mm. Okay.
So where is your official, like, where do you think he ends up?
I think he's going to Ferrari. I think he's going to rehash with Lewis. Mm. I think the thing that hurts him most about Aston is if he's going to build a legacy, as long as Lawrence Stroll is the owner of that team, you are not going to contend for the team constructor championship. And I think that the team championship, right?
As long as he's the owner?
As long as Lawrence Stroll is. Because that as long as Lawrence is the owner, Lance has a seat in that other spot. So, yeah, you get Alonso who could compete. If he had left, Alonso has the best car in the grid, he probably will win the WDC, right?
He probably would.
But... Where's Lance going to finish? Is it going to be enough for Aston to win the team championship? And I think that matters more to Newey than, say, an individual champion.
And that's why you think he would also leave Red Bull?
No, Red Bull gives him the best chance to continue it. I think if he's going to be, why he would leave Red Bull was to build that legacy and say, hey, I can do it at another
team. But another team, not necessarily a driver. Yeah, I gotcha.
So you think if he went basically to Aston, and even if Alonso wins because Stroll's not able to put them on top, that it could hurt him
as much as legacy? Personally, I don't think so. But I think in the grand scheme of things, if he were to go to like a Ferrari and Lewis and Leclerc finish 1-2, 1-3, win the team champion, the constructor championship, I think that matters more than an individual person's success.
I got something absolutely stupid to say, but do you think, like, a team like Sauber has any dark horse chance at it?
No.
No.
Just with, you know, the new regime.
I don't think they have any chance, but I want to kind of just rebuttal that a little bit. Is with Newey trying to build a legacy, wouldn't it? Like, right now, Ferrari's not that. They're pretty close. They're obviously not super close to Red Bull, but it wouldn't be as big of a challenge for Newey to go in and make them a championship team as it would be to make Aston.
100%. In 20, 30 years, if you're talking about him, you're not going to talk about where the team's performance was when they took over. You're going to talk about him switching teams and making that team a championship team.
Yeah, fair.
So according to Tyler, that will be Ferrari.
I would love to see him at Aston, though. Like, I that's where I'd want him to go, because I'd love to see him put some effort into that car and get that car at a top-tier championship or top-tier level simply so Alonso can win races.
Mm. Yeah, it'd be cool to see him to win one more on the way out.
I would love so much for Alonso to just win a championship for sure. That would be dope. But even if he could just snag a couple race wins in a year, like, that would be super sweet.
And you think he can only do that if Newey comes on board at this point?
I mean, I don't know if I would. That's a tough question, right? Like,
100%.
I think it depends on where Newey is. If he's not at Aston, right? He goes to Ferrari and gets a car that is almost at that level and just puts them over the top.
So side note to this, obviously we're talking about where Newey's going to go. Where do you think Red Bull goes if, or maybe at this point, when he leaves?
It's going to be a whole new car for Red Bull. I mean, they got Ford in 2026 with the regulation changes. It's up in the air. I have no idea where they could. I'm hoping to God that they're not dominant. The worst thing that could happen is Newey leaves Red Bull and he doesn't perform at the new team. I'm taking that as a possibility because I feel like we've seen that happen with drivers. Obviously, he's definitely Newey's shown that he can make the best car ever. But can he do that with the different components or the different
resources?
The different resources that a different team might have. He was said to go to Red Bull because of the freedom and the culture there. That's going to be different at a different team. What if he just can't, you know?
I think if Newey's coming into your team, though, you're going to let him write the culture. But
and if you want to talk about culture, who has a bigger culture than... Who has a bigger culture than Ferrari?
That's what I'm saying. Well, they're not going to let him rewrite it. But hopefully they'll give him control of the car, you know?
Do you think they wouldn't?
I think they would, but
like full,
I don't know if the culture at Ferrari is going to be the same at Red Bull. Obviously, the culture in the past month or two has been bad at Red Bull, but...
Yeah, I think a lot of that has to do with, if Newey goes, how much of Newey's team is he going to bring with them? How many engineers are going to be left at Red Bull? Does Red Bull already have a replacement in mind that Newey is bringing up or Newey helping out? You know, I think if this is going to be a mutual agreement per se, now I know in the past I've said there's no such thing as a mutual agreement. In this case, nobody's firing Adrian Newey, right? If he's leaving, it's mutual.
It sounds like, he's going to bring a team with him, I think, right?
So I think that's the biggest thing is how many of Newey's little minds that he's creating and developing into
his minions,
how many of those leave or how many can stay there and help build what Newey had already going and plant that for the future? Or if Newey does go to, like, say, a Ferrari, does Red Bull, do you think Newey and that Ferrari head engineer are going to, like, be good together? Or does Red Bull grab one of the top engineers wherever he goes?
And does Newey start, this is kind of a separate question, but does Newey start focusing on the car they currently have? Or does he solely just think about 2026 when he gets into that new team?
I think that's going to be a direction of the team more so than anything. Mm.
It depends. Yeah, I would say direction team. It also depends on the team. If it's Ferrari, he's going in there focusing on that car and revamping anything they're doing to make it better to win that year.
Okay.
For sure.
But in the same regard, though, too, with these new regulations coming, is that why Newey's leaving? Is he worried that bringing in that Ford engine and these new regulations coming into play, is that going to be, like, too much of a start fresh?
Nah, not well. I mean, if he goes to Ferrari, you could always think that.
Maybe you could think that was a possibility. Yeah, maybe there were some seeds of doubt when Ford came on board, and then the Horner stuff happened, and that just kind of sealed the deal.
Turned him off.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe.
I don't know.
Or does any of it have to do with the possibility of losing Max?
And the uncertainty of who's going to be in that second seat even at this point. Just the uncertainty of Red Bull altogether. Next season and going into the new regulations, maybe. Maybe that's why.
and losing Helmut, how much would that matter to Nui?
Are we going to witness the fall of Red Bull just entirely?
I think as long as they have number one on that behind that driver wheel, we can't we can't say it's going to be a fall, but I would kind of love it.
Yeah. My socks have been inside out all year. I'm ready for it.
I was like, Cole's looking over here. He's just shaking right now. He's so excited.
I'm practicing like I'm practicing like I want snow the next day to miss school. Socks are inside out. I'm wearing some socks on my hands. See what happens. I'll let you know if the luck pays off here.
That's a good point, though. Max, like, if Max has anything to do with it whatsoever, and Max does decide to leave Red Bull, is he going to go to the same team Adrian's on? Because, I mean, Ferrari's full up for the foreseeable future. So if Nui has that in mind at all, he's not going to go to Ferrari. He's going to go to wherever he thinks he can make it that it doesn't have seats, you know, taken.
It's Merck. Only Merck, yeah. It's Merck, only Merck, yeah. Then.
It's either Merck or does he want to take a chance at Audi?
I just don't see. That's what I mean. That's what I was saying. Like, maybe he does. Why? Like, ooh. Why? Or is he just like old and grumpy now? He just wants that money retired.
Let's say Cyan signs to Sauber next year because Sauber's becoming Audi.
That makes it a lot
harder.
Say
Cyan signs to a 2-3 year deal at Sauber next year, and then behind the scenes, they know they're going to get Sebastian Vettel.
Ooh, that makes it a lot harder. Oh. That makes it a lot harder.
So you have all regulations, a brand new car.
I was going to say, you're talking about legacy.
They would have to have that in place and like have to tell him that now, that this is the plan, this is the go forward, and we'd love to have you on board type deal. But
I love silly season just because there's like, how much of these talks are going on behind closed doors right now?
This talk is silly right now.
Are Verstappen and Nui talking right now saying, hey, I'm going here, so you're going to, like, it just, oh, I'd love to be a bug in the wall and just all those conversations.
You guys got to watch Rush if you haven't yet.
Oh, Rush is good.
This is the stuff that happens behind the scenes that you hear, and they're like, oh, I got to find him a team, got to do all this. It's cool.
All right. Next bit of news, because the next three kind of all, not tie into each other, next two for sure, but Hulkenberg joining Stake F1 team Kick Sauber.
One, what does that do to Bottas? I think we all kind of know what's going to happen with Zoe. This is probably his last year. But what does that do to Bottas? And two, around that, good for Hulk, man. He earned that this year so far. I think he earned that spot.
He did. Now, is that a, do you guys know, is that a one-year deal?
I don't know what the deal, but like in terms of earning it.
It is a two, so he
I'm
is going to
sure
be.
It's through 2027.
So he's going to be on the first year of Audi 2?
I'm pretty sure.
So in terms of like earning it though, like what is going to stake from Haas? How's that a like promotion?
Just get excited. I mean, there's got to be excitement around the team.
Earned a spot on the grid this year is what I'm saying.
Oh,
to stay.
Okay. Yeah, I think, that's a great point. I think also something to note is that Hulk has history with Audi, and I think Audi picked him for the car. I don't think Kick picked him. I think Audi picked him.
What's the history? I don't know.
I'll have to look it up. I know for a fact they have history because it was mentioned everywhere when we were looking. I'll check.
So wait, I might be sideways here. Kick is turning into Audi, right?
Correct.
Right.
So we need to verify. Is he for sure going to be on there till 2027? Is he going to be on there when it turns Audi?
That's what I mean. Is it 1 year or 2 years?
Because I thought it's 2027.
I'll look it up right now.
Okay.
I think it is two. But
yeah, my point was, I think the way Hulk is racing this year, obviously we didn't really touch on it too much, but I mean, 10th this last race, he's the reason that Haas is doing as good as they
are. He's the reason why like even people like us are mentioning Haas right now.
Yeah. And he not like what I meant by deserved it and earned it is he earned a spot on the grid for the next couple of years for sure.
Right. He's earned to keep his job.
So after looking into it, it doesn't confirm like a number of years, but it has a multi-year contract that will see him for Sauber in 2025 and then take over for the German manufacturer Audi for 2026 and beyond. So the connection
two.
Is he's German.
Yeah, German.
Audi's
that's
German.
What it is.
So it's at least two.
It's at least two. Yep.
Yeah.
He's confirmed to be the first Audi driver.
So let's roll that right into the next one then. Is it Carlos? If it's not Carlos, who the heck is it?
So to answer your question, what happens to Bottas? I mean, if Sainz is going in, Bottas is gone.
Bottas is out.
He might get picked up. Like, I mean,
he's
I could
got
see
one
him
more
swapped.
Year, right? Like, Bottas is good for next year,
no,
or is he not?
No,
oh,
he's
not.
Out. I could see him get swapped for K-Mag, maybe. Like, I could see that maybe happening. I don't think Haas wants to get two new drivers on their team. I think they want at least one person that has a little bit of history. I think Bottas is probably better than K-Mag, so I could K-Mag's maybe see a switch happening. That's like know. Super, that's like, but if that doesn't happen, I also think K-Mag could keep the seat. That was just like, hey, this could happen kind of moment, you know?
I think we might see maybe like an Ocon or something like that go over there. I don't think K-Mag earned himself a spot on a team.
So, I mean, I'm not sure if K-Mag is coming back.
I think if K-Mag is on the grid next year, it's in a Haas with an Ollie Bearman as the other driver to have that veteran with the rookie. But K-Mag's in, I don't think K-Mag has a seat anywhere but a Haas.
That's interesting, though. Bottas to a Haas is an interesting thought.
The thing with that, though, is like...
Or does he go back to Sauber on a
one-year How much deal? More money does Bottas command than Magnussen for Haas to make it worth it? Because $5 million to Haas is a heck of a lot of money.
And they also turned down Ricciardo because he cost too much.
Mm-hmm. That's right. But Bottas...
I think Bottas has maybe gotten into that position where he's like, hey, you know, I'm kind of... I don't think he's fighting for a seat. I think his name still carries weight. I mean, 100%. He won second place in many years.
His resume speaks right? for itself. Yeah. How many wins did K-Mag or Hulk have?
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't think they have wins.
They don't.
Just straight up. To be fair, Bottas got his wins in Mercedes when 100%. They were dominant. But to also be fair, unlike Max pretty much sweeping the entire year, it was a Bottas race and then
once every four or five.
But that's more than Perez can say for 100%. Red Bull, right?
So, 100%.
Yeah. I think it's definitely an interesting conversation. I hope Bottas has a seat. I love seeing that mullet on the grid. I would hate to see it go.
That's why he's probably going to be a Haas driver.
Yeah, he would fit right in. But I think, too, like, Perez will never be to Verstappen what Bottas was to Lewis. And that's, I mean, it just, I think he has a spot on the grid as long as he wants one.
Yeah, just for his resume.
Again, it might be on a lower seed team like Kickstarter, but
do they sign him now for one more year at least, or do they reward him a little bit, give him a little two year deal, first year of Audi, see what happens, or do you think they got their eyes set on somebody else other than Carlos? You would imagine. I mean, that is actually have happened, right? Like they've offered Carlos a deal.
Oh yeah,
they offered Carlos the bag.
Didn't they offer it to him like? A while ago. Yeah.
And so, I'm sure that offer's only increased after his like success he's had this year and all the other teams trying to grab him.
Hopefully. Yeah.
I mean, I think it's Carlos's seat to have at this point.
He's just waiting if a better opportunity comes along, like the Red Bull seat.
Well, wasn't the talks around Carlos. Wasn't the talks around Carlos that he got offered just a crazy amount from Audi?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was like $100 million a year or something. It was stupid.
So, I mean,
that now it's the same question we asked earlier. What does Carlos want to do? Does he want a shot at a championship, or does he want to make a ton of money and be a F1 driver?
If he's not in a Red Bull and if he doesn't really have a shot to be in a Red Bull, I think he wants to get paid.
I would agree.
Probably. Like you're saying, it's Red Bull or you're taking that Audi deal.
That's what's in
Carlos's head right now.
Red Bull or the bag, yeah.
I think he definitely has a shot to be in a Red Bull. I just think, I mean, they can't match his offer. So, yeah, we have to be in the mind of Sainz to figure out, you know, what he really wants.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, if you want to get in the mind of Sainz a little bit, back when he went to Ferrari, it was to start winning, to be in that big team, to be with Ferrari. I don't think his mindset has changed there. I think if Red Bull gives him a decent enough offer, I think he's going to Red Bull.
Well, Horner also came out and said that they've been in talks with Sainz and they cannot offer as much as Saudi.
Yep.
It's Saudi as Audi. There's probably some Saudi backing there somewhere.
Sauber and
Audi is where I was going.
God, maybe he does. Maybe he just takes dives into Audi and takes a chance.
And he has to make that decision soon because I think there's a time limit on that Audi deal. I think they want to find a person. I think they want to find someone.
You think they're willing to wait if it's Carlos?
I think they're willing to wait.
Is everybody else gone that you would be targeting? I don't know. I don't know who that is.
Who
right?
else? I think all of this is dependent.
Yeah.
The chips start falling when Max Verstappen makes a decision. If Max Verstappen is not being taken up that Red Bull salary, they can sure as shit pay Carlos what he's requesting at Audi.
Yeah. Oh yeah. For sure.
So that's where the cards lie here. It says, what is Verstappen going to do? And Verstappen's made it known that he wants to stay with Red Bull.
Yeah, I don't think he's leaving.
You know?
Which avenue hurts Sainz more? Going to Audi or going to Red Bull?
What do you want with your career?
I don't think it's that easy though, Smelty. Because I think 2026 is a whole different ballgame.
100%. So you don't know.
Yeah, but you have
no idea.
So tough,
you have no idea if the Red Bull car is going to be any good.
And especially if Nui's like, why would you go to Red Bull if Nui's not there?
I think he'll take the Audi deal personally, but
Science?
Yeah.
I think if they offer him a good enough deal and I think he wants to go to Red Bull. I think he wants to win, get wins. I think he loves winning. He wants to keep getting wins. He wants to go to Red Bull.
It'd be fun to see if he could compete with Max in a Red Bull. Yeah. It'd be fun to see if that gap between Max and Sergio is smaller between Max and Carlos, but
it would be super dope to see Carlos sign a 1-year deal with Red Bull. See what he can do. Like, obviously, he's going to perform. And then with the 2026 regulations, see how the Red Bull car is looking in the future and kind of go from there. It's not going to happen. Red Bull's not going to sign anybody for a 1-year deal.
If he did that and then left, then that would be a sign to everybody else. Like, whoa, Red Bull don't got it now. So, I don't know.
Or does he go to Red Bull, see what he can do to compete, grab some wins, maybe fight for the WDC? Get a championship per se, build that legacy, and then go chase the bag. Is he going to fight with Max? I'm not getting to that level. Don't get me wrong here. I'm not saying he would. It's like shoo-in for him to get it. But I mean, I don't know. I just don't think Red Bull is going to sign any driver outside of Checo right now to a 1-year deal.
Fair.
And I don't think they'll sign Checo to more than a 1-year deal.
Yeah, and that's fair. But let's just roll right into this rumor here that Kimi Antonelli, Tyler's boy, could replace Logan Sargeant, Logan Lieutenant, after Miami or Imola. What do we make of that rumor? Is it true? Is there any truth to this?
Yeah, so I'm the one that found the rumor. I think after doing just a little bit more research, I think after Miami is probably, like, right after Miami is what I heard the rumors could be. I think that's probably a little too far-fetched. Kimi's only 17. Technically, he can't race until he's 18 when he can get a super license. I think there's an exception. I think they're trying to make an exception for him. But, yeah, rumor has it Mercedes want to get him into a Williams. I think Logan's seat is a safe one to give him. See how he does, you know, get him the time in the seat and hopefully get him ready for a Mercedes eventually.
I would absolutely love that. Kimi is my boy. But so you had mentioned in our just little debrief there that Verstappen got the exception at 17. The age requirement for it to go to 18 was after Verstappen got granted that at 17. Mm. So the regulations changed. So after just doing a quick research here, there is a way that you can, you know, like try to have an exception. However, the exception is usually if you have not qualified enough after your super license points to make that exception, it'd be very hard to get passed on age. We also got to think as well, it's 2024. We're not in the age of the 80s and 90s where people don't care about that type of thing. Like, as irrelevant as it is, people would put up a stink because we got a 17-year-old in an F1 car when he's in an F2 car that goes like 30 to 40 miles per hour less. The danger is still there.
Pretty darn quick.
You know, so I would love for it to happen, but it would take Mercedes pulling a lot of freaking strings.
And I mean, the last guy that passed away was in an F2 car like 4 years ago.
Mm,
right.
True.
If you want to compare it like that, that's why I think it's dumb in my opinion. If he's able to race it and he can, you know, if they want to pull him up, I think they should pull him up. But also, isn't he not having a great start to the season in F2?
For F2.
Yeah, he's in ninth right now in F2. I don't think you can put too much into that, however, just because it's a completely different racecraft. Like at the F2 level, the cars are all at the same level, which doesn't hurt his case in this argument or doesn't help his case in this argument.
But doing well in F2, doesn't that how you get pulled up to F1?
Well, Nick DeVries was an F2 championship and lasted what, 6-7 races in F2? I think it's more of like the promise or the talent of the future with this. We also have to remember this cat's 17 years old, right? What does his future hold with how he's going to progress if you put him at the pinnacle?
And why are we trying to rush it? You know, why do you have to rush it? You don't necessarily have to.
I 100% agree with that. I think that he should stay at F2, just get his bearings, get more of that experience, and then come to even if it's Williams next year, right? They have two seats open. Nobody signed for Williams next year. I don't think he's shown enough in F2 to come into a Mercedes, but I think it's Mercedes has to keep him under their belt.
But has Sargeant performed poorly enough to pull him before the season's out?
I'm going to refer to my co-panelist here, Cole.
What was that?
He's not even listening. Not even listening. Damn, what did I say?
Has Sargent performed good enough this year to prevent them signing a Kimi?
Or like prevent them from pulling Sargent before the end of this season? Yeah. Has he done enough?
Yeah. I mean, they pulled Nick DeFree and he had a better season than Sargent had. And this is Sargent's second season.
That was a Christian Horner, though. That was 100% Christian Horner and Helmut Marko, or Helmut Marko, said that opposite with the vowels.
But either way, I mean, like they didn't really give Nick DeVry the chance. And this guy is a year and a quarter of the way in at this point. Like
Showing no signs of improvement.
The end of the day.
From our homeland.
How long are you wasting? How long are you wasting on somebody that is not going to have a spot next year? Why not try to get somebody else into that spot this year?
That's what I mean. Like, is it time to pull the plug on Sargent? I mean, does this hold a lot of weight? Like, is this a potential possibility? But with the regulations changing after Verstappen, I didn't know that. That's got to make it extremely challenging, like you said, unless Mercedes is doing a lot of under-the-table stuff.
It's also Toto Wolff.
Yeah.
Right, dude.
I think we're probably going to see Kimi, not Nicky, Kimi. We're probably going to see him come in after he's 18, get super license points, and then maybe get a Williams seat next year, right?
He already has enough super license points to qualify for the seat. It's simply just age at this point.
Really?
So maybe
he doesn't even have a super license yet, right?
So to get the super license points, you have to accumulate enough points. You have to meet a requirement to get a super license.
Okay.
So you have to accumulate enough points in the junior circuits, F2, F3, to you earn super license points by that. That's you can't get a super license points and then get or super license and then get points.
Okay.
Because it's you already have it.
That makes sense. I just remember Logan having to go through those hoops. He had to be put in the car in F1 to get super license points.
Well,
do laps. Yeah. So maybe he wasn't doing too hot in F2 beforehand.
Maybe it's like do the free practices give you any points?
Yes. Yeah.
So 100%. Kimi just did practice laps for Mercedes, not commissioned in F1 or whatever it was in a race, but he just raced, I think it was one of Hamilton's cars.
Whoa.
I don't know if would qualify.
I'd
though.
Have to like do a whole lot of deep dive in terms of how these points are made. Maybe I'll do that for next week. Talk about it a little bit more, maybe. Maybe Logan's gone next week. Who knows?
Yeah, so it's actually right here. The 17-year-old recently tested for 2 days with the Mercedes W12. So it's 2021.
Those, yeah.
Interesting.
And there's more tests coming. There's more scheduled tests coming in the 2022 W13.
I think just move away from Sargent. If you can earlier, good.
With who, though?
This boy
If he can't do it right now, like I'm assuming they can't make the exception.
I think you don't do it unless you can put him in the car, probably.
Agreed.
I don't know what else you would do.
That makes sense.
That's where
Okay, cool.
With that, we have to wrap this news up. We got to head into our Miami preview real quick. Thanks for hanging with us. Let's hit it. And with the Miami preview, of course, that comes with Joe's little Miami GP history. What we got?
Yeah, and you know I like starting these recaps off with a little bit of trivia. Miami is the 11th different Grand Prix venue in the United States and the 77th different venue to host F1 World Championship Grand Prix. I'm looking at these statistics. Obviously, we've only had Miami for 2 years. So safety car probability is 100%. Virtual safety car is also 100%. So we might be in for an interesting race, guys.
We're in for some carnage. Yep.
Besides that, kind of a boring race last year. I'll kind of just go through a couple facts with you. So the start, we saw Perez, Alonso, and Sainz. It was a 57-lap race. I think Perez, he's just a killer on street tracks most of the time. So we're probably going to see him up there again. We saw both McLarens outside of the top 10. Hamilton also starting outside the top 10. Max starting in 9th and K-Mag starting in 4th. I remember he had a crazy qualifying session. I can't remember if something happened in qualifying. I would assume probably. But yeah, Haas showing up for their home race. All right. First turn, lap 1, we saw only being a little bit messy near the back of the field, the massive lockup from DeVries into Norris, all while the top 3 kept their places and seeing K-Mag fall down the grid a good few places. Max went from 9th to 6th in the first three laps, overtaking while cars fight ahead of him. And then we saw Max pass Sainz for 3rd on lap 14 and then pass Alonso for 2nd on lap 15, showing just what a monster Red Bull was. 3.5 seconds from Perez in first. We saw Sainz, unfortunately, lock up in the start of the pit lane and gets caught with a penalty for pit lane speeding. To add insult to injury, Alonso also takes that place back from Sainz on lap 28. K-Mag had fallen back near 10th, but was consistently fighting and defending from Leclerc for points and was able to do so up until about lap 37. This is where Charles finally took the place. And at the same time, we saw Russell with a bit more pace overtaking Sainz for 4th on lap 37, showing his Merc had a little bit of strength on the track. Max finally pits from his original hards on lap 45 of 57. That's 45 laps on a single tire. And he was gaining on Perez that whole time. So Perez had pit. He was about about 5 seconds from when Perez had pitted. When he pit for his new mediums, he was about 18 seconds ahead of Perez. Verstappen does come out behind Perez, but only 0.7 behind him. On the first turn of lap 48, Max gets ahead of Perez for first place, again, starting 9th on the grid. So our final was Max, Checo, and then Alonso, and then Russell, and then Sainz. Max was 5 seconds ahead of Checo. Checo was 20 seconds ahead of Alonso. So I think we're foreshadowing a little bit. Red Bull's probably going to be pretty dominant on this track. Sainz was able to stay far enough ahead of Hamilton for the penalty to not affect him. And we saw Alpine and K-Mag filled the last few point spots at the end of the race. I don't think we're going to see this for Alpine, although they did show a little bit more strength last race. But Haas, we might see a fight for Haas this weekend. That'd be awesome.
See Haas get some points,
yeah.
You're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm looking for Alonso, honestly, to make some moves this week. But I'm sorry, were you done?
No, go ahead.
I was just saying, like, LOL, I can't talk either. Words. I'm looking at Alonso maybe battling. Depends on who's going to be better of the two between Ferrari and McLaren, but battling one of them, I think he's going to be sniffing them a little bit and giving them a little bit of the business,
yeah.
To be honest.
Yeah, looking forward, I do have a couple of personal call-outs, and one of them was Alonso. He had a really good race last year. I see him having a good race this year. I definitely see him beating the Mercedes. I don't know if I see him beating McLaren, though.
Right.
Then kind of going into McLaren, had a bad race last year. Both of them, it was still very early in the season. Both of them finished, I think, like 19th and then 16th. A bit stronger this year, so very, very hesitant to see. I'm very hesitant to put one of them on the podium, but I'm hoping they're close to it at least.
The thing about last year with McLaren, can't really look at the first half of the year in terms of projecting this year because the car was completely different coming out of the summer break. And McLaren is bringing their first major upgrade this weekend in Miami.
Let's go.
Ooh.
So, I mean, they're not going to fight with the Red Bulls, but Lando showed last race, he can get that number two spot, right? So he's not going to fight with Max, but I could see, you know, Lando grabbing a podium here and Oscar finishing top five. You look at Oscar last race even. I mean, if he didn't take
Oscar
that little
top
bit of
five,
I think Oscar can grab a top five.
So Oscar, you think if you're saying if Lando hits podium, you thinking Oscar splits the Ferrari?
I do.
Ooh,
I think there's a chance. I mean, I'm not predicting that, but I think there's a good chance. Let's see what this upgrade does, right? Let's say if it's a major upgrade and that car looked real good last race, even Oscar, he took damage when Stroll and Ricardo got bumped up, so his car wasn't where he couldn't fight towards the end to try to move up.
Right.
You know, he grabbed a P7, if I'm not mistaken.
Good. Yeah.
So he still looked good. I mean, he was able to keep that spot after damage.
I think McLaren is definitely trying to right some wrongs for Miami, just because this is the history section of the pod. To give you a little bit insight into 2022, Lando did not finish and Danny got 13th. So has not been a good track for McLaren so far. I'd love to see them break that trend, though.
This year would be
the year.
It's looking like they're going to break that trend.
Yeah, hopefully 100%. That big upgrade, they learn from their mistakes, that upgrade, you know, plays to the strengths.
The upgrade would have to, like, fry the engine in both cars.
I would have to agree entirely with Alonso, especially with how, like, turny and technical this track can be on a lot of it. Obviously, there's that big straightaway on the back end, but Alonso is going to excel on a track like this.
That is a driver I think we might see a top five. I know that's a stretch with all the cars up there, but just pure skill alone. I don't know. My gut, but I know we're not giving points for top fives, but
I would love to see Alonso compete for a podium. I just don't think the car's there with how good the McLaren, Red Bull, and Ferrari look right now. And I would love to see him finish on a podium or top five. I just don't see it with where that car is.
No, for sure. Any last thoughts on before we get into the podium for for Miami, any teams that we need to look out for. We know Alpine's going to suck, but.
Yeah, I'll just mirror Haas. Haas always excels here. Their top line speed is usually pretty good. So
Nico going to keep proving why he's staying on the grid next year and maybe get a point.
Nico's 9-10 this year, not 9 or 10.
It sucks for K-Mag this last race, too, because he's had a really good year in that car. And, you know, that one mistake, it was on him. But he pretty much had a point finish in that last race, too, if he didn't spin out Yuki and mess his car up.
No doubt. Well, and Yuki's another guy that could be fighting for a point or two.
You can see Ricky, Danny Rick, too. He loves American races. He loves coming to America.
Yuki, Danny Rick, and then I've liked what Albon's shown us this year. I know it can't be a lot, but...
He hasn't shown me anything.
That's fine.
Degress from last year, if anything. Like, I think he's... Going into this, I thought Albon had a really, really, really good chance at that second Red Bull seat.
Well, not right now. No way. I think Carlos is the only move right now that they want. But anyway, we're going to get off on another tangent. Do you have the podium tracker pulled up by chance?
Sure do.
Well, why don't you start us off? Where's your podium?
So just recapping from last week.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
All of us actually got 2 points. None of us guessed... the one person who guessed Lando, Smelty, guessed Leclerc finishing on the podium. So everybody got 2 points last week, so nothing changes. Joe still in first with 10. I am in second with 9. Cole in third with 8. And Smelty in last with 7, but it's only a couple points. But that couple points really matters because Verstappen's eliminating 1 point from everybody regardless.
No doubt. That's the problem. Right?
But to get us started, I have, obviously, Verstappen. Checo loves his street races, so he's going to finish in the podium. And I actually think that McLaren upgrade is going to play big this weekend, and I got Lando securing a second consecutive podium.
Nice, nice. I'm just going to go ahead and ditto that. That is exactly what I'm thinking as well. I'm hoping Lando worked out for me last week, so I'm hoping it gets me 2 weeks. Cole, who's your podium, bro?
I saw the whole upgrades around Lando. And I think, or with McLaren, it's obviously going to be Verstappen and Checo. I think Checo always, you know, does well in these races. I'm in between Sainz and Leclerc. I don't think, with just the history around McLaren on this track, I don't think it's going to be a good track for them. I don't think they're going to be the ones in the top three.
Which is fair.
I'm going to go, Sainz is going to have a kickback week. He's going to be in the top three.
Nice. Okay. Joe, who's on your podium?
Pretty much dittoing what Cole said. I'm going to play to history. Max, Checo, Sainz. I want you two to be right. But yeah, Max, Checo, Sainz is going to be my podium.
So it's essentially for us this week, it's McLaren's versus Ferrari. I mean, truly, is who's going to get that? Who's going to get on the podium with Checo and Max?
None of us. It's probably going to be Max, Checo, Alonso or something.
Dad, and we would all love that, though. That's
I'd
the
be
problem.
Okay with it. That's fine.
We'd all get 2 points out of the deal, and we would love that. So, with that's...
You know what I would love, Smelty?
What?
I would just love if Checo took Max out in the first corner, and we had 2 DNFs, and then we get, like, Lando securing his first win. We grab Alonso in that 2 or 3, and screw it. Let's throw Yuki up there.
I was actually just... All right, you lost me on Yuki, but I was just thinking when we were doing podium, I was like, one of these races, I should just throw it in there. Like, nope, Verstappen's out. He's going to crash out. I know it. But, I mean, that's pretty much a loss of a point. But with that, we're going to wrap up before I was rudely interrupted. And do we have a show next week? Does anybody know? Nope. Dang, another 2 week break. Golly. But what's the next race?
I was just looking at Imola.
Imola? Yes. Okay. Okay. Oh, that's going to be fun.
Didn't get Imola last year.
I know. Right.
You didn't touch on this. Is Miami another sprint?
Yes. It is. Miami is another sprint race. Thank you, Cole. Yeah.
Is this the first week that it's doing this?
The first sprint at Miami?
No, they did it. Did they do it last year?
Not last year.
I'm pretty sure they did one last
did
year.
They?
Yeah.
I'll double check, but I'm pretty sure.
If I'm not mistaken, Miami and Vegas had sprints.
I know Vegas
Austin
did.
Was the only one that didn't. It makes sense. If you're trying to gain that American viewership, throw the sprints in America.
Throw them a second race for the...
Mm-hmm. You're right. It was last year, now that I'm thinking about it. Wow. Back-to-back sprints.
Another sprint. Great.
Ooh. Back-to-back, too. That's, I mean...
Great.
But, dude, one of these sprints, it's not going to end well, though. Did we get any crashes in sprints last year?
I mean, not that I can remember.
But that's what I mean. I know you're chuckling at me. But I'm just saying, like, one of these sprints is not going to end well for somebody. And it's going to be the end of the world and then potentially the end of the sprints. Like, they'll just be like, nope, it's not worth it anymore.
Oh, I actually don't think there was a sprint last year at Miami.
But there is for sure this year.
Definitely this year. I'm just looking because it looks like they had all 3 practices and then...
Well, if there was three practices, yeah, there wasn't a sprint.
I thought for sure there was, but I might be thinking of Vegas, I guess.
Just stuck in my gut.
Yeah, Vegas 100% had one.
Yeah, screw us for fact-checking. We got to stick to Colt's gut. But again, with that, we're going to wrap up now this time. So please, like, comment, subscribe, wherever you listen to the banter, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and we'll see you in 2 weeks before Mola.
Don't forget to follow, like, and subscribe. Tune in next time for more Banter with the Boys.